This is the audio interview with Wanda Bland. Hi, Wanda. Glad that you can do this with us today. Are you okay with us recording this?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. So we will go ahead and get started. Can you go ahead and give me your full name with your maiden name?
Wanda Joyce Brogdon Bland.
Okay. All right. And go ahead and tell me who your parents were.
My father was Nelson Brogdon. My mother was Bertie Simmons Brogdon.
Okay. Okay. And you said Bernie, right?
What?
Bernie.
Bertie. B-I-R-D. My mother.
Uh-huh.
Bertie, B-I-R-D-I-E.
Okay. Simmons, Brogdon?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And tell me how many siblings you have.
I have two brothers and two sisters.
Okay. Can you give me their name?
Yes. Milton Brogdon. Cheryl Brogdon Chesser, Lanier Brogdon, Rosemary Brogdon Malloway.
Okay. Chesser. And I know that Milton passed away. Are any of your other siblings still living?
Yes, all of them are except him.
Okay, all right, okay. All right, and I sure did hate to hear about that. I went to school with Melanie.
She's a sweetheart.
Yes, okay. So tell me about where you grew up in Sugar Hill.
I was born at home, as there was no hospital at the time. Our house was, well, the bridge, or the ramp leading up to the bridge, went right through our house. So Mother and Daddy had to move to make way for the road and the bridge. But that's where I lived until I married in 1968.
Okay.
I just don't think about stuff like that.
Okay. All right. And what did it look like when you grew up there before the bridge was there? What other things were in that area besides the house? Did y'all have a business beside you, or?
No, the railroad, of course, was right there.
Okay.
It was mostly residential. My aunt lived across the street. Eventually, they built Hidden Circle, and then later added Frontier Forest to that. And we were really excited to get a subdivision in Sugar Hill. Wow.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. But didn't your family have a store there?
My aunt, Minnie Ruby Brogdon, at one time had a little store right up the street from us, right at Mangum's Crossing.
Okay.
She was directly across from Mangum's store.
Okay.
I don't remember her running the store. I think she had quit running it by the time I got old enough to remember it. But she lived there until her death.
Okay.
And she had taken it over from her father, Arthur Brogdon.
Okay. All right. Okay, so...
When I was growing up, it was just all mostly woods and houses.
Okay. What are some memorable events that you can remember from your childhood growing up?
That's a good one. I I remember everybody getting excited when the goat man would come to town.
Okay, tell me about the goat man.
He, I don't know his name. I have seen articles on him plenty of times. But at that time, we just knew he was the goat man. And he would come through periodically with his goats, his little cart. And everybody would go out and to see the goats and to him. It was exciting. That's how Sugar Hill was.
Okay. Was he coming through to sell something, or he just walked around with his goats?
No, I think he was coming through. If he ever sold anything, I was not aware of it.
Okay.
What?
All right.
Memorable.
Okay. All right. Tell me a little bit about your father.
Well, he was the second mayor of Sugar Hill. I remember those days. I remember in the early days, they would have council meetings in our living room. And then they got the little two-room city hall until they moved into the big city hall where the sweet spot is now.
Okay. Okay. Where was...
Mother used to tell me how excited I would get when she started baking a cake because I knew that Mr. Councilman was coming over.
Oh. Where was the other... Before the city hall was built, where was the other room at?
It was a little building. I think they may have added on to that or something before the big one was built. I can't remember. But it sat right in the corner there where close to Mangum's store. The Guy Franklin's little shop was there. He repaired TVs and stuff. And Rocky Venables was in the corner. But it was right there in the fork of the road.
Okay. All right.
I remember going out to that. We would go out with Daddy sometimes.
Okay. And anything else that you remember about your daddy's time as mayor?
Absolutely. Daddy was responsible for putting in the water system and the natural gas system. Before that, we didn't have any. A few people had county water, but most people, including us, had well water and heated with wood or coal. And it was just so much on the young people. You know, it was hard on them coming in from work, you know, in the evenings or at night and having to deal with that. And he decided, well, it was time that we came up in the world. So he became mayor. He worked very hard getting that gas and water system put in. And then, of course, eventually the city outgrew our two water tanks that we had. I remember them building the water tanks. We sat on my aunt's porch and watched them. But it was very exciting having running water and gas in the house, so you didn't have to burn wood or coal to heat. And well, some people had electric stoves, but that was the big thing that I remember about him. What he accomplished. That's what he wanted to accomplish, and he did. Of course, we still have the gas system.
Right.
Not long ago, I found an old gas bill, and going through some of Mother's things, she never threw anything out, but it was a handwritten gas bill written in pencil. I still have it, but it was, I said, oh, this is rich.
Oh.
Written in pencil.
Yeah, we'd like to get a copy of that.
I'll dig it out for you.
Okay. All right. Do you know about how many years he was mayor?
6, I think.
Okay. Was he in politics before he became mayor?
No, not at all. He worked for Bona Allen. He was a leather designer, a saddle designer. And was the foreman over the hand stamping department for Bone Allen.
Okay.
And he did leather work on the side at home. He made billfolds and belts and pocketbooks and whatever odd thing people could come up with.
Okay. And what about your mother? Was she just a homemaker?
She was a homemaker. She worked at the courthouse in Lawrenceville before my brother was born. And then she was just a homemaker raising the five of us little kids.
Okay.
And totally happy doing it.
Okay. Anything else that you want to tell me about your dad? We got a street named after him.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
I remember when I was over there when they called and told him that they had turned the request into the state to name that street after him. And he says, oh, you don't have to do that. But he was smiling about it. He was glad, I'm sure. And we were. Of course, every time I see his name on that street, it just makes me smile.
Mm-hmm. What else did your dad do after he was mayor?
He was still working with Bona Allen when he was mayor, mm-hmm. because that was not... Well, he didn't get paid for that back then either. So, you know, he had to do something. But he, like I said, he worked for Bona Allen, and he was mayor, and he did all the leather work goods that he and mother made at home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did
he work with the school system or the county?
No.
Okay.
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. All right. And
he was one of the founding members of the Sugar Hill Methodist Church.
Okay.
He and mother were.
And do you remember where that church was held?
I think the first service was held in Ed Camp's living room.
That is correct.
If I'm not, mm-hmm. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I was, and my mother missed that first service because I was born at 6 o'clock the next morning.
Oh.
But she went to all of them after that. And we grew up in the church, in that church.
Okay. So what was the date of the first service then, since you know that?
The first service was October the 10th, 1948.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that all of her life. She would remind me of that from time to time. Yeah, I missed that service because I was born at 6 o'clock that next morning, and she just wasn't able to go.
Aw.
But she did get, yeah. I got reminded of that often. But she would laugh when she said it.
Right. Well, tell me, as you were growing up and entered school, tell me what you remember about the school system, going to school, riding the bus, friends, things that you did.
We did ride the bus. When I started first grade, it was in the old white wood building. And I went there first grade. Second grade was very memorable because the second grade went to school in a little white frame house across the street where the sweet spot is now. There was a couple of little houses there, but one of them, we went to school there. It was like four rooms, no bathroom. So we had to go across the street and into the school building to go to the bathroom, then to go to lunch, regardless of weather.
Oh.
And then third grade went back into the old building. Fourth grade, we went into the new building. Now, they left the old high school building standing because I went to it in the fifth grade. Boy, I just jumped all over the place, didn't I? I hadn't thought about that before.
Okay.
But they still used the old high school building for the fifth grades.
Okay. Okay.
And we went 1 through 7 at Sugar Hill. There was no middle school. 8 through 12 went to North Gwinnett. Although we were sub freshmen, we were not. We were kept isolated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not exactly isolated, but we were sort of were.
Yeah, but you graduated from Sugar Hill. I mean, from North Gwinnett.
From North Gwinnett, yes.
Okay,
I did.
What year?
1966.
1966. Okay. So, tell me back when you were in elementary school, what were some of the things that you and your friends or you and fellow students would do at school?
I remember when we got the first playground with swings. That was pretty exciting. I can't remember exactly which grade I was in, if it was 6th or 7th. But we were real excited about having swings and a sliding board and an actual playground. Otherwise, we just played outside, chase and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed school then.
Okay.
And of course, it was such a small town, and there was no traffic, and we could walk to all of our friends' houses around. Can't do that these days.
Right.
Not safe anybody to walk, but I'll tell you this: where is it? Sugar Hill Village, is that the name of that shopping center where Big Lot and Quality Foods was? You know what I'm talking about. Anyway.
Sugar Hill Station.
Okay. My daddy inherited that land from his aunt, who inherited it from her father. And it got passed on down to daddy. And he was approached wanting to lease the land or buy the land. And my sister was living there at the time. And he discussed it with all of us kids. But he thought it was a great idea for them to put a little shopping center there, because he was hoping and thought that it would bring other businesses into the area, into Sugar Hill and into the area. He said, you know, give it a little jump start, because before that, there wasn't anything really around there. And he was right.
Mm-hmm.
They built the one across the street where Goodwill and all that is. And then they built, I don't think the other one had been built yet. I know it hadn't. But anyway, he was right about that. It did kind of jump start a little growth in the area.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that.
But the house that was on there, couldn't any of us stand the thought of them just, the house just being plowed down? It was over 100 years old. Sturdy as the day it was built. But me and my brothers and my sisters, cousins, friends, we all got together and we tore that house down board by board. And some of the wood wound up in my sister's house because she used it when they moved, and she had some basement rooms paneled with the paneling out of it. But now we just couldn't bear to see it just plowed down.
That's hard, isn't it? It really is.
Well, yes and no. And the fact that we agreed with Daddy that anything that could bring business in, we were all for it. And as hard as it was kind of to see it go, you got to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So we were happy that it was there and
still are.
Right. Tell me what you did as a teenager.
Oh, gee. You really want to know that? I don't know. Well, back then there wasn't a whole lot of things to do around here. We did have a drive-in movie down here. And, oh, as a kid, we did have the skating rink and the bowling alley. We used to go skating on Saturdays. But as a teenager, there really wasn't anything to do, you know, without going to Shambly or Dorval or somewhere. They're just except go to the drive-in or to a football game or something.
Okay.
And that's why I'm so proud to see what's happening at the East Center and around, because they do have some place to go. They've got something to do in places they can gather. And even for the little kids like my grandsons, there's a lot to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
My daddy would have been proud of that East Center.
Right. Growing up as a teenager, do you have any special memories of the skating rink, bowling alley, drive-in, or anything else?
I never went to the bowling alley much. My brother worked there as a teenager, but I think it was already closed by the time I got big enough to have been going. The skating rink, yeah, I was in grammar school. And we used to go out on Saturdays, and at that time, I went on Saturday afternoon. All the teenagers went at night, but by the time I got to be a teenager, it was closed. So there again, if we wanted to go skating, we had to go to Shambly or Dorval or somewhere.
Okay. All right.
Nothing to do.
Okay. So what was your first job?
My first job was working with Dahlia Titchall in her beauty shop as a shampoo girl.
Okay. Where was that located at?
She was, at that time, she was down on 23. Right. Don't know if I can explain where that was. You know those apartments that are down there,
uh-huh,
across from the... it was right before that.
Okay.
Right in that vicinity, anyway, down on 23.
Right behind Beaufort Mall?
Yeah, down a little further from it, but yeah.
Okay. All right. And what was that, when you were a teen or after you got out of school?
I was out of school. I worked there for a little while.
Okay.
Before I went to work in Atlanta.
Okay. Okay. Did you go to work in Atlanta before or after you got married?
After.
Okay.
Well, I take that back. I didn't. I worked for an insurance company for a while. And then after that, well, when I graduated from high school, Mother and Daddy told me, said, take the summer off. You will never have this time again. Said, when you start work, you'll be working, getting married, having kids. You will never have this time for yourself that you have right now. So take the summer off before you do anything. I said, okay. And I've always appreciated that they had me do that. And you're right. Because once I started work and got married and started having kids, and yeah, it's you never had that freedom.
Right. So how long after you graduated did you wind up getting married? What year did you get married in?
I got married September the 12th, 1968, to James Burl Bland.
Okay. And now tell me about y'all's family. How many children do you have?
I have two boys.
Okay. And their names?
Robbie Bland and Wright Bland.
And what about grandkids?
Two grandsons. Robbie has twin 9-year-old sons, Emery and Eli.
Okay. Boys. All right. And I guess they keep you pretty occupied, don't they?
They certainly do. And I enjoy every second of it.
Very good. Very good. And you still live in Sugar Hill, right?
Yes, I'm two houses outside the city limits, but yeah, I consider it Sugar Hill.
Okay. And that's off of Whitehead Road?
It's on Whitehead Road, yeah.
Okay.
Well, my back property actually backs up to the city limits. I'm almost in the city.
Okay. All right. And tell me...
The subdivision behind me is actually in the city.
Correct, yeah. Tell me about when you married and living on Highway 20.
Oh, man. That goes way back. When we got married, we lived in a little apartment for about 8 or 9 months, I don't know. But we moved to Sugar Hill down on Highway 20 in May of 69 and lived there until we moved to Whitehead. Lord, I never can remember the year of that. 85, maybe.
Okay.
Been here a long time.
Right. And tell me about your husband had a business there on 20?
He didn't have a business. He has a shop, you know, just for his own purposes, but it was Grand Central Station. He and his brother would restore old tractors. They would find tractors out in a field that hadn't run in years, and they would buy it, and we would laugh at them. And James was a great mechanic, and did wonderful auto body work and everything. So between the two of them, they would have that thing running like brand new and looking like brand new and sell them for way more than they paid for them. And pretty soon we quit laughing about it, but it kept them both busy, and they enjoyed it. But, yes, he did sell those tractors. He would either put it on the street. They always listed it in the market bulletin, so they never stayed around very long. It was surprising how many people actually wanted tractors that size to have like a little backyard garden.
Okay. And did y'all move from Highway 20 because of the widening of the road?
No, they had kind of widened it before we moved, but no, we just decided we needed something bigger.
Okay. So what businesses, are there any other businesses that you remember that stand out in your mind specific to those days in Sugar Hill?
Sarah Poole's Grocery Store.
Okay. Tell me about
Spent
Sarah.
A lot of time up there with Sue.
Okay. Tell me about her grocery store.
Sarah and Junior own the Poole's Grocery, own the store. And like I said, I think about everybody at one time or another came in there. And since Sue was my best friend, I spent a lot of time up there, too. And it was just, she always had a good time. She got to see so many people.
Okay. Anything else about Poole's Grocery that stands out in your mind?
No.
Okay. Any other businesses in the area along West Broad Street that stands out in your mind other than you talked
Rocky
a little...
Rocky Venables. Right. Rocky Venable had a store there right in the corner where it forked. And there was another one.
And where is that fork at today?
It kind of is where it is now. Except that I'm trying to picture this in my mind.
That big where about where the
closed it.
About where the racetrack is in that area.
Yeah,
there.
Where racetrack is now.
Okay.
But it just kind of zigs around now where it used to just be a fork.
Okay. All right. And let's see. Do you have any memories of the building of Buford Dam and Lake Lanier that stand out in your mind?
Yes, I do. I remember when they were building the dam. My uncle came up from South Georgia. He stayed with us and worked with them over there building the dam. I don't know exactly what he did, but I know he was, you know, working over there and would stay with us during the week and then go home on the weekends. And when, as they were kind of building it, Daddy would take us over sometimes so we could kind of see what was done. But I remember when, you know, so many people had to move because it flooded, you know, took their land and flooded it. But it was a very big deal, and we were excited about the lake coming in.
Okay.
When they were building the islands, well, James and I were already married when they were working on the bridge going over to the islands. And he got to know some of the people that were working on there because he owned the Gulf Station in Buford, which is where Parker's is now. And so he got to know some of these guys, but we would go over and go fishing over there.
Okay.
So we kind of watched the whole process
of that being built. Back to the churches, I know you said that your family was, you know, part of the co-founders of the Methodist Church. It started out in Mr. and Miss Camp's house, and then it later moved into the building on West Broad Street. What other memories do you have of those early days with the church?
When we moved into that church, it was very small, very small. And as the years went on and the men of the church did a lot of the building themselves, digging the basement, putting in a bathroom, because it didn't have a bathroom in it until they built one and kind of expanded it. So, yeah, it started out just a very small church, so we were very proud of what it is now.
Okay.
But they worked, like I said, you know, we had a lot of talented members going there then, and they would all work on their off times and on weekends and everything else doing the actual building.
Okay. All right. And then later they moved on over to the church on the hill now that's on Nelson Brogdon Boulevard.
Yeah, they kind of outgrew that one and moved.
Okay. Do you have any family members buried in the Sugar Hill Cemetery?
I have a lot of family members out there, actually.
Okay.
All the Brogdons, or most of the Brogdons anyway, are buried at Level Creek. But yes, I do have a lot of family and friends buried at Sugar Hill Cemetery.
Okay. All right. And let's see, what else?
Matter of fact, it's at Level Creek, which is not in Sugar Hill, mm-hmm. but there are five generations right there together in one spot.
And that's the Brogdons?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. And, are there any other businesses that you can think of that stand out in your mind? Cannonballs, Buy Supplies.
Oh, man. Yeah, Cannonballs. Everybody would get real excited when they heard Cannonball was coming in with a load. Okay. All the towns showed up out there then.
Okay. All right.
Mangum's store, that was growing up, that's where we always walked to.
Okay.
We would find a quarter. Boy, you could buy a lot of stuff for a quarter. You could get a comic book and a drink and a bag full of penny candy, and you were set for the day.
Okay.
And Mr. Mangum was such a wonderful man. He just loved all the kids. And so did Ms. Mangum. It was always fun to go in there.
Well, what made it fun?
They were just so pleasant. They just always enjoyed talking to the kids and, you know, just joking around with us. But it was just, they always made you feel so welcome.
Okay.
Even when we were little kids. They were just wonderful people.
Okay. Anything, do you remember anything pertaining to the gold mines in Sugar Hill?
Oh, I'm glad you said that. Yes, I do, because one thing that we found, and my sister and I were talking about it just recently, that we had to dig it up, somewhere in Mother and Daddy's buckets of paperwork, there are records where, and we always knew that there was a gold mine that's actually in Frontier Forest now. But my great grandparents had actually leased that gold mine. Of course, they couldn't mine it, didn't have any interest in, didn't have any way really to mine it or anything. But a company had leased land from them and paid them to mine it. And they did that for a while because we found records where they had paid them for letting them mine the gold on it. And we always knew that there was a gold mine there. And it's near the front of Frontier Forest.
Okay.
Kind of on the left side.
All right. Like in behind the store?
It's back down a little further than the shopping center, but not a whole lot further. I don't know exactly, but when they were building Frontier Forest, I remember there's a lot of discussion about that, and Lathan said they're building it over the gold mine. But we've got to find those records.
Yeah, we would love to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, my sister and I said, we were just talking about that the other day, that we had to find those records.
Yeah. When you say records, did it have like...
Yeah.
did it have like maps and stuff?
I don't think it had maps. I can't remember. But I know that there was like a little log of it or whatever. And of course, we grew up hearing the stories about them leasing that land, that gold mine. That, you know, that there was a gold mine on there, you know, that they had leased it to a company to mine.
Mm-hmm.
And right. then we found those records of where they paid them.
Okay.
But it's been several years since I saw them, but we are going to dig them out.
Okay. Yeah, we'd like to get them and scan them and add them to our collection of everything else that we've collected about the gold mines. We have a museum now that is across from the city hall.
Yeah, I've been there.
Okay, yeah. So any memorabilia that you might have of that, pictures, articles, anything, we would be very interested in that.
Yeah, that's something else. I'm sure we've got to have pictures.
Okay. All right. Yeah, even of the old house that you were talking about that was torn down.
There used to be a picture hanging in, was it Applebee's? Which one of the places that always had pictures hanging of, like, community things? And I think it was Applebee's, whichever one it was, though. For a long time, they had this big, huge picture, and it said Arthur Brogdon's field workers, because we all started laughing because we said, those his kids, because we recognized every one of them when they were, like, young, you know, teenagers, and there was, like, five of them on the tractor out in the field, and we said, yes, they were his workers, okay.
Uh-huh.
Where's his kids?
Huh. Yeah, that's very interesting.
We had seen that picture before, so, you know, we recognized it.
Okay. Do you have any knowledge of moonshining that went on in Sugar Hill?
Not really. You know, there were always rumors, but I never saw one.
Okay. All right. And let's see, is there anything else about the schools, the churches, or businesses that you may want to add that I haven't asked you about?
Let me see, about the school. When I first started to school, T. Carl Bass was the principal then. I remember that. You know, and he was principal there for many, many, many years before my time. And then the building that they tore down was eventually named the T. Carl Bass Center or whatever.
Right. And would you...
A lot of great teachers.
Yeah. Did you have any favorite teachers?
They were about all favorites. I don't know. We only had one or two that we ever ran across that was like we didn't particularly care for. But the rest of them were just wonderful.
Well, good.
Mary White and... Miss Freeman and Miss Hayes, and there was just too many of them.
Do you have any memorabilia from your time in school, annuals, articles, books, report cards, trophies, anything that, you know, might be worth sharing for the Historical Society?
We didn't have yearbooks when I was in grammar school. We didn't have those until we got in high school. I don't remember ever seeing a yearbook from the elementary school. Anyway, I don't know if the high school had them, but by the time I got there, the high school, they were still going to high school there for a year or two. But I don't remember. I wouldn't have any of those anyway. But I don't remember ever seeing a yearbook from the elementary school back in my days. High school, yeah, but not grammar school.
Okay.
I don't know. We would have to look. Mother's just got buckets and buckets and buckets of pictures. But that's another thing we keep saying we have to go through.
Right. So if you do go through it and there's anything that you think might be of historic value to Sugar Hill, if you would...
Yeah, that's one reason we said we had to go through them, because we know we've got to have stuff in there that would be of interest to you and to Buford on some things.
Right.
That dealt with Bone Allen.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Well, is there anything else that you can think of that... you'd like to add that I haven't asked you?
Right offhand, I'm not thinking of anything.
Okay. Well, what do you miss most?
I'm sure there. What do I miss about? I miss the smallness of it. Everybody knew everybody, and that was good and bad. you couldn't do anything. Your mama knew it before you got home. Trust me.
Right. So, if you could tell people one thing about Sugar Hill's past that they might not know, what would you tell them?
Well, I do know that the land that my daddy leased to build that shopping center was originally taken from the Creek Indians. It wasn't the Cherokee. It seemed like it was the Creek Indians, because there is a document somewhere and where it was the government kind of divided that up.
Okay.
That's another thing we need to look for.
Yeah, we'd love to see that as well.
Because we do have that where it was. And I think my great-grandfather had actually maybe purchased it from the person that it was allotted to. But there were Indians around here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's probably... I'm trying to think of some of the things that I knew about. And some of the things that... We heard a lot of stories growing up.
Right.
Wish we'd paid more attention.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what we're trying to capture. What do you think that Sugar Hill will look like 50 years from now?
Well, I don't know. I could never have imagined it looking like it does now. My cousin was up here last weekend from Fitzgerald. He lived in Sugar Hill for many years. And he called me because he was lost. And I said, "Where are you?" And he said, "In front of the Buford Library." He said, "Buford has changed so much, I'm lost." Aww. I said, "Yeah, what do you see, Sugar Hill?" He said, "I did." Because he had rode through here first. He said, "Man, has it changed?" And I said, "Yeah, it has." I said, "But, you know, like I said, for the most part, I'm glad that it is growing, that at least the kids and the younger people and even the older people have some place to go, that they can get good food and good company and just enjoy each other and the weather. And my grandchildren sure do enjoy it.
Well, very good.
Robbie takes them out there every chance he gets. They're doing something out there.
Mm-hmm.
And to the theater, or to watch a movie under the stars, or any number of things that we didn't have that opportunity to do. We didn't have Sparks in the Park in July.
Right.
You know, just you'd be surprised at little things like that that would have been huge to us.
Right, right. So what words of wisdom would you pass on to the current and future generations of Sugar Hill?
Remember the history and look to the future.
Okay.
And enjoy every minute of it.
All right. And
the friendships you make during this time, you'll always have.
Well, Wanda, we really do appreciate your time today, taking the time to give us what information that you do have. And it sounds like you have some information that the Historical Society would be very interested in. So,
well, we think we do, and that's why we said we've got to go through that stuff a little closer and dig it out, because we know we've got a lot of historical records.
Right, right. Like I said, we would be very interested in it. Pictures, articles, deeds, anything like that that you have that would help us on future research would be
okay.
Very good for us. So we really appreciate it. And again, thank you for your time with us, and I'm going to go ahead and turn the recorder off now.